lesson 23. Today we're going to be focusing in on framing. Framing is one of the most powerful capacities that you can build as an advocate, as a community leader, and simply as an effective communicator. So let's get straight into this. George Lakoff, in his book, Don't Think of an Elephant, says that frames are mental structures that shape the way we see the world. Now, in politics, frames shape our social policies and the institutions we form to carry out policies. To change our frames is to change all this. Reframing is social change. Personally, I've framed effectiveness at the United Nations as very simply the ability to change the conversation. Now, perhaps at first this seems rather simplistic, but when you think about what it really takes, and as we look at what it really takes to change a conversation and what we mean by frames in this lesson, I think you'll begin to see that changing the conversation is another way of saying reframing is social change. But of course, to quote-unquote change the conversation is a little bit more genteel than effecting social change at the United Nations. And which of these two phrases you might use in different situations is really according to the effect that you wish to have on those that you're speaking to. So let's get on with the topic of framing. Framing is about getting language that fits your worldview. But it's not just language. The ideas are primary. In fact, the language carries those ideas. It evokes those ideas. They are really the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. But framing is a way, essentially, to manage meaning. And it's crucial craftsmanship for leaders. Gail Fairhurst and Robert Starr, in their book, The Art of Framing, spoke about framing like this. To be effective leaders today, we must understand how to function as managers of meaning. The essential tool of the manager of meaning is the ability to frame. Frames as a term is actually short for frames of reference, and I'm not going to go into the scientific definition of frame of reference here, but we're going to use the frame in the cognitive area of human affairs, and it means a complex schema of unquestioned beliefs, values, and so on that we use when inferring meaning. So it's not just a simple thought, but in fact it's almost like our brain, a multitude of connections of ideas, thoughts, values, priorities that come together and somehow confer meaning through the use of specific vocabulary. Now, in this case, when any part of the frame is changed, hence reframing, then the meaning that is inferred may also change. And that, of course, depends on whether you're changing a core concept of this entangled mesh of different values, ideas, emotions, and beliefs, and so on, or whether it's something that it's a little bit more peripheral. But nevertheless, it's reframing changes meaning. This depiction of a frame as the visible, or language, and the invisible, or underlying components provides one lens that you can look at frames through or better understand frames. And we'll get to others. Continuing with this metaphor, language is what we see, or rather it's what we hear, but it's the more obvious component of frames. We use specific words, and those words are connected and are underpinned by certain ideas and concepts. They evoke certain meaning, they have attached emotions, they're rooted in certain values, and oftentimes they draw upon beliefs that we have, and very often unexamined beliefs, and they are at work in this framework as a whole. But language connects to each of these. This network of connections is what gives the frame its very unique nature and capacity. Now, framing actually acknowledges that we are not primarily the products of our conscious thinking, that in fact the conscious mind gives us one way of making sense of our environment, but it is not the only way. And time and again, those who assume that human beings are essentially rational beings end up confounded by the state of human affairs. Framing also acknowledges the relative importance of emotion over pure reason. Now, with this talk of the relative importance of emotions over reason, we cannot disregard reason. And in fact, in any frame, and we see this very clearly in the process of reframing, there needs to be a fitting of the facts. What do I mean by that? To reframe, then, means to change the conceptual and or the emotional settings or viewpoint in relation to which a situation is experienced, therefore how we experience meaning, and to place it in another frame which still fits the facts of the same concrete situation equally well or even better. So this is the way that meaning is changed. The anchor points in the situation are the facts of the situation. What gets changed is the interpretation of what is going on within that set of facts. Let me explain it this way. Here on this graph, you have these points. Here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. Now you can see very clearly by this graph that those points can be satisfied either by the red graph or by the blue graph. So one frame could provide blue meaning, so to speak, and another frame could provide the same set of facts and experience in the world with a red meaning. Interestingly, people think in frames, not in sentences. And it's part of the reason why we can speak of underlying beliefs, why we emotionally react to certain facts, why certain values thread our thinking and conversations, why there is lingo and jargon that certain groups share. And this lingo and jargon is so effective because just a few words, the right words here or there, carry with them all of these underlying beliefs, values, attached emotions, meanings, and connected ideas and concepts that are very meaningful for that group. So then the next question comes is, can we change part of a frame without changing everything? I would like to say that an innovative idea is one that is a partial frame change, so to speak. On a change scale of 1 to 10, an innovative idea may register anywhere between a 2 and a 6, for example. Innovative ideas will provide new ways to think and respond to those same old facts and core values. Now, a revolutionary idea, on the other hand, more massively changes the meaning of even the core values. Perhaps not completely, but gets us to look at those core, the things that are core or very central to our sense of self and identity that are very meaningful, and even begin to reconstruct or reassign meaning to those core values. Such are revolutionary ideas. Now, done well, framing defines opportunities and issues in ways that lead to effective actions and solutions. In other words, framing done well enables a group to understand and to decide what needs to get done, how it is to be done, and why it's important to do. To help us better understand what is good framing in the advocates' world in terms of social change, Lakoff, George Lakoff, offers 4 basic tenets to framing, which can be very useful to the advocate embarking on framing issues and policies. And he reminds us that, 1, every word evokes a frame. Underneath every word, we tend to have connected and attached to certain words, certain meanings, and sets of values and implications for a particular word. Words defined within a frame tend to evoke the whole frame. So if a word is strongly attached to a particular frame, when that word is used, the whole frame pops up in our minds, if not consciously, unconsciously. Now, the interesting thing that he says, and he articulates very clearly as the name of his book, Don't Think of an Elephant, that in fact, negating a frame evokes that frame. Now, this is very important for an advocate to understand, because debating a person, you know, a group that has defined the frame, debating them on that frame will simply work to, and his fourth tenet here is, reinforce that frame. So the negation of a frame is effectively evoking a frame which is reinforcing that frame. Something that, as an advocate, intending to bring a new way of thinking about something, we actually don't want to happen. But it's very important that we understand that. Debating an issue on somebody else's terms is simply going to strengthen their position. It's not necessarily at all going to help the people that we're addressing change their perspective. So this brings us back to the work of a change leader as one who manages meaning. In other words, to change the underlying terrain of beliefs, feelings, and emotional connections to give new meaning to familiar or old information through the skill of reframing. By having us focus on a particular aspect of a subject allows us to change the meaning that is found there. When we choose to highlight some aspect of our subject over others, we actually make it more noticeable, more meaningful, more memorable for others. Just like when a photographer may focus in on that morning dewdrop right at the end of the tip of the leaf, just before it evaporates in the morning sun. By focusing in on that dewdrop on that leaf at that moment and capturing it, framing it in that way, the photographer was able to allow us not only to see what he was seeing, but to also experience some of the awe and wonder and beauty of what he was experiencing. Let me take this one step further with this example. On the left, we see something that is more akin to aviation failure. And on the right, while yes, aviation failure is a part of the picture, there are also elements that include the concept of rescue, heroes, community, and selfless neighbors. This significantly changes the overall sense of what we are being a witness to, and we get a distinctly different, larger picture. So frames exert their power not only through what they highlight, but also by what they leave out. So what's happening here is that our thoughts are being implicitly guided in certain directions according to the meaning that is being provided behind particular issues and presented to us in that frame. And as our minds and our thoughts then follow along that line of thought, we become effectively invited to share in the solution that frame is bringing us to, the logical conclusion that frame is introducing us to. Now, where would we begin if we want to construct a better or different or more powerful frame than what we have been using, or at least to construct an alternate frame for the ones that are currently being utilized in your sphere of work or in your interest area? And what might constitute a more powerful frame? Now, we don't have time here to go into framing as a mini workshop, but what I'm going to do quickly now is go over the seven main elements of framing. First of all, you have to do research. You have to know what you're saying. You have to know what the two or three most compelling facts are about the issue you're addressing. You don't have to know all of them for advocacy, for creating a frame, but you definitely need to know what are the most compelling facts about the issue. And I would say that in the end, you really need one. you need as a background, you need to understand more than one simple fact. But as you begin to construct your frame, you're going to focus in and utilize perhaps the most compelling fact in some way, shape, or form. You need to know your audience to whom you're speaking. You have to also be aware of the stakeholders and keep both parties in mind, because in the end, your frame that you're going to utilize is going to be one of the ways that you speak to both the stakeholders in your agenda as well as those that you're seeking to influence and affect. Do not presume you will only ever speak to one. But in your core frame, you need to understand who makes up your key audience and be able to speak equally well to both. Sometimes understanding that these two groups, the stakeholders and the audience, may have very different languages, assumptions, beliefs, emotional responses to some of the words and vocabulary you might utilize. So this will become part of how you need to work with and construct your frame. Precision. Narrow the scope of your statement to the most salient or core points. Again, narrow it down. Focus in. You need to be able to be, just like the phrase, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, is a short sentence that explains a long history of experience. Narrow down precisely your statement and your issue to its core point. Simplicity, and that's part of the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush idea as well, is to take complex ideas and simplify them, distilling them down into something that is very succinct. If people that you're speaking to, no matter how smart and intelligent they may be, if they can't understand the idea you're endeavoring to convey, they won't care about it. Next, urgency. As much as you can, you need to bring a sense of urgency into your communications. And this is usually done with appropriate words such as best, worst, first, last, most important. Something that activates the person to feel some kind of time sensitivity, some kind of urgency. Now, persistence is important because a frame is not adopted with one hearing. It's not just a simple memorization of a fact. Because what we're doing is reconstructing or reconnecting many of the elements of meaning, words, values, emotions, underneath the surface of our language, it takes time to reconstruct and to reconnect into a new shape and structure that meaning. So it needs to be reinforced over time, and it needs to be in some ways proven by people hearing it more than once. Once is interesting, but is not sufficient to have people adopt a frame or begin to see things anew through a different frame. And accuracy, of course, good messages are factually correct. They are not hyperbolic. They are grounded in fact, and not just construed fact. So make sure that you are building your work, your advocacy, on sound information. That quickly gives you an idea of some of the main elements of framing. Now I'm going to run through just a whole bunch of questions, and I'll have these in a PDF file below. These are questions that are helpful to you in the process of working with your group to clarify your frame and to begin to work with the ideas of what you might wish to distill and to put into your frame. You'll begin with the more broad, many questions, many ideas. Then you'll need to come back to the group again and say, okay, but what is the most important? What is the central? What is quintessential? What's even more important than those last three? What is the most essential point? And you're going to need to distill down and down and down until you can get it very succinct. It's like until you've evaporated off all the excess water and you're just left with the core nugget. And then you utilize that, a nugget that does have emotional elements attached to it as well. Some of these clarifying questions: what values underlie your advocacy efforts? Does your current framing clearly focus on those values? Or what would help you, the way you look at your issue or your work, focus on those values? What other images, what other words would better do that? On what in the landscape can you focus to highlight those values? What would distract from this focus? What is the larger landscape surrounding your advocacy? Where are you choosing to focus? Can you narrow the focus to better define your goals? What is the core idea that is imperative to communicate? Does your current framing include all the people who can enact your preferred solution? Are you omitting anybody? If you are, is it intentional or was it a mistake? Do you have images that can better include or better speak to those you wish to speak to? Have you chosen a frame in which your audience is comfortable? What images best illustrate the values supporting your advocacy? What images might detract from your choice of framing? What frames might you be evoking and reinforcing, either intentionally or unintentionally? And this is why it's very good to work in a group to get very different perspectives on the same terminology, the same vocabulary, the same images and emotional responses. Are you inadvertently reinforcing a destructive frame? Now, I'm going to give just a couple of simple examples here. In the 1940s, it was common in America to speak about the Negro problem. Well, in time, that became reframed as quote-unquote civil rights. That gave a very different sense of what was going on. It broadened and recognized that the problem group was much larger than the initial frame indicated. The framing of the Negro problem completely disregarded the responsibility and the role of white America. In the 1960s, we spoke about the elderly. Well, now it's been reframed as senior citizens. This not only shifts the focus from the age, but it gives the elderly a place in society as citizens. It recognizes them as seniors and implies, therefore, and brings with it the sense of being valuable, and broadens the whole understanding, the potential, and implies, brings with it the potential of what can be given to society by these people, and not just that these people need to be taken care of because they're elderly. So it completely changes the way the problem of the elderly is looked at by reframing them as senior citizens. Now, these are just a couple of examples, and there are many more out there. But I hope that this has been able to give you a little bit of an idea of some of the ways that you can go about reframing and some of the considerations. Now, an additional point here: because framing is a way to manage meaning, it is not only vitally important to advocacy, it's also vitally important to leadership. So I want you to also think, what meaning do you seek to convey in each aspect of your work? What solutions are you offering, and who can help implement those solutions? And how are you framing organizational issues for your staff, your colleagues, your donors, and your volunteers? And are you doing that well, in ways that are constructive for all of them? Or are you implying things by the frames that you utilize that in fact undervalue or even put down some of your colleagues or your staff or some of your donors or volunteers? As organizations become more international and intercultural, these are points that you need to watch for a little bit more carefully. Now let's get on today's homework very quickly. What is the main or the most powerful frame your NGO currently uses to convey the importance and effectiveness of its work? Does it have one? Is it clear? Can you describe it? Is it distilled down to a simple, memorable concept that brings with it an emotional response? Is there urgency? Is it accurate? Think of it in terms of those seven elements of a frame. Are there parts of your NGO's story that inadvertently undermine its central contribution in your key target's mind? As an advocate at the United Nations, you have the opportunity to construct a frame that can be appreciated, understood, and even virally multiplied by a significant sector of our society. I look forward to seeing you in the next lesson.